demigods, and there are evidences that by such worship they get extensive power for their sense gratification. This latter proves to be a cause of trouble to the brahmanas, demigods, and other innocent living entities. Demons habitually find fault with the demigods, brahmanas, and innocent to whom they are a constant source of fear. The way of the demon is to take power from the demigods and then tease the demigods themselves. There is an instance of a great devotee of Lord Shiva who obtained a boon from Lord Shiva that the head of whomever he touched with his hand would come off its trunk. As soon as the boon was offered to him, the demon wanted to touch the very head of Lord Shiva. That is their way. The devotees of Supreme Personality of Godhead do not, however, ask for any favor for sense gratification. Even if they are offered liberation, they would refuse it. They are happy simply engaging in transcendental loving service of the Lord. Om Ajnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmitam Ena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Ena Bhutale Svayam Rupakadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yutapadakamulam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrujatam Sahagana Ragunatanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Urshabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Krupa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha E Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shivasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare So welcome everyone for today's Srimad Bhagavatam class. So here the translation says that, my dear Lord, this demon has proved to be a constant pinprick to the demigods, the brahmanas, the cows and innocent persons who are spotless and always dependent upon the worship of your lotus feet. He has become a source of fear by unnecessarily harassing them. Since he has attained a boon from me, he has become a demon, always searching for a proper combatant, all wandering all over the universe for this infamous purpose. So, you know, once there was in a village, there was an old man. He was well respected and he was a wealthy old man. And one day he was taking rest in his house, and then suddenly he hears that someone at his gate was yelling, like he was speaking bad words at him. And suddenly the servant came to his room and said that, my dear master, you know, I see someone yelling bad words at you. And looks like some crazy guy, right? So the old man told the servant, okay, you do one thing. You go to the window. Don't open the door. Just open the window and try to see his face, who he is. And try to tell me who he is. And, you know, the servant goes to the window and sees, and then, you know, tries to see his face and tries to describe him, you know, to the old man. He says that, you know, he looks like someone like 40 years old. He has a beard and, you know, he's wearing a dhoti. And he said that, you know, he never saw him before. This is the first time he's seeing him, and looks like he doesn't come from this village. Maybe he came from a different village. And this old man is trying to remember, you know, who is this person who is, you know, standing at his door and, you know, yelling bad words. And the servant asked, my dear master, do you remember who this person is? Why is he, you know, speaking so badly about you? Then the old man says that, no, I'm trying to remember, but I couldn't recollect. But one thing for sure is that this person may be someone whom I might have helped a long time back. So that is why he's now, you know, yelling at my door. So this is the nature. So this is the nature of the people in today's world. Basically, they are ungrateful. Correct? So if you see, the people who usually fight, they are usually the people whom we might have helped sometime at some point of time, correct? or whom we might have relationship with somebody at some point of time. Like people whom we don't have any relationship, why would you even fight to begin with, right? So in the similar way, here also we can see this Hiranyaksha, this demon, he has attained his boon from Brahma, from the, you know, who is the head of the demigods. But now he is using the very same strength to fight against the demigods, correct? So to against the Lord. So this is the nature of the demons. They are ungrateful, basically. So similarly, we can see many, many such examples in today's world also, where, for example, even some of the children, you know, the children when they grow up, you know, the very parents who has abroad, you know, brought them up by, you know, providing so much of time, money, resources and guidance, when some of these children, when they grow up, they turn against their own parents. And they would blame their own parents, saying that you did not give me enough, or you know what you have done is not sufficient or not good enough. So that is the nature of an ungrateful person. But whereas a devotee is grateful, you know, and that is actually one of the opulence of a devotee, is that he is grateful for whatever he has received from the Supreme Lord. He doesn't complain. And rather he would think that, you know, my Lord, that I am unqualified, but by your mercy, you have blessed me with so many things. In the Srimad Bhagavatam 4th canto, we can see the Maharaj Prithu's prayers. He says that whoever acquires the Brahminical qualities, though whose only wealth is good behavior, who is grateful, and who takes the shelter of experienced persons, gets all the opulence of the world. Therefore, I wish that Supreme Personality of Godhead and His associates be pleased with the Brahmana class, with the cows and with me. Correct? So this is how we can become rich. Everybody wants to become rich, but here Prithu Maharaj says that the real richness is actually good behavior and being grateful and following the footsteps of the great personalities. So this is the real opulence in this world. Even if you look back into in our own life also, you know, every day we meet so many people, correct? But we may not remember exactly, I mean, everybody in our life, correct? But let's say that you come across somebody who is really gentle in behavior, good in behavior, and who is really grateful. You will never forget him for the rest of your life. You'll still remember him. Like once I remember that there was a life member family who came from India. The both husband and wife, they were doctors. And they stayed here in the like guest room for like 3 days. And I met them before they left, and they were such a gentle person. They were well behaved, and they are so grateful that they spent this time in the temple and they attended the Mangalarti, the prayers and everything. And I still remember them, you know, those are the people whom you never forget, correct? Because especially those who are grateful and who are gentle in behavior. And that is actually a Vaishnava quality. That's a quality of a devotee, to be grateful and behave in a gentle way. So, everyone should also feel the same gratefulness to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because He is maintaining all the living entities and He is supplying all their necessities. Now, once, I was in New Vrindavan last summer, and I heard a pastime of Prabhupada from one of the devotees who is residing in New Vrindavan. You know, New Vrindavan is a big community, like it's a huge piece of land they have, and they have farming, they have cows, you know, they have so many things there. So in the evenings, when Prabhupada was spending his time in New Vrindavan, evenings he used to meet with the devotees. He used to have a Vyasasana in front of a house, in one of the devotees' house where he used to stay, and then devotees used to assemble around him, and they used to discuss in the evening, like especially with the New Vrindavan, how to develop, you know, how to preach and all those things. And in one of those discussions, a topic came that about preaching to the local farmers. Because New Vrindavan, as you know, it is very far from the city, you know, it's mostly, most of your neighbors are like farmers, and you know, they do agriculture and they have cows. And these devotees were actually trying to preach these farmers, but these farmers were not really interested to come to the temple. You know, devotees used to, you know, many times invite the farmers to the temple, but they were not much showing much interest. So the discussion was how to preach to these farmers, how to make them to be devotees, you know. And every devotee was trying to, you know, explain how he would preach. And one devotee was telling that if he would come in contact with this farmer, then he would say, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, then Prabhupada suddenly stopped and said, no, don't say that. Don't bring in Krishna. Then another devotee tried. He says that in the Vedas it is said, no, don't bring in Vedas. So then everybody was, you know, kind of curious, how would Prabhupada answer to this question? Correct? Then finally every devotee tried, and finally Prabhupada gave a response. Of course, I'm trying to paraphrase exactly what Prabhupada said, but you know, Prabhupada said that, so my dear sir, you know, you are a farmer, correct? And you depend on sunshine, and you depend on the rainfall, and you depend on the water from the stream. And none of these things are actually provided by you. I mean, these are not something which you have created. These are something which are provided to you by the God, correct? So it is our responsibility, it is your responsibility to be grateful, to show your gratefulness to the God. You see, this is Prabhupada's response to them. Because, you know, these people, they may not know Krishna, or they may not know Vedas, and you know, gurus, Krishna and Sadhu is someone who knows all those things. But for someone who doesn't know those things, you know, you present them logically. And that is what he says, you know, in one of the purports, in the third canto, 19th chapter, Prabhupada says that every living entity, especially persons in the human race, must feel grateful for the benedictions offered by the grace of Supreme Lord. Therefore, anyone with a simple heart of gratefulness must be Krishna conscious and offer devotional service to the Lord. Those who are actually thieves and rogues, they do not recognize or acknowledge the benedictions offered to them by the Supreme Lord, and they cannot render him devotional service. Ungrateful persons are those who do not understand how much benefit they are deriving by the arrangement of the Lord. They enjoy the sunshine and moonshine, and they get water free of charge, yet they do not feel grateful, but simply go on enjoying these gifts of Lord. Therefore, they must be called thieves and rogues. So this is the difference between the demigods and the demons. Because here also we can see the Hiranyaksha, he has obtained his boon from the demigod, I mean from the Lord Brahma, correct? But now he is using the very same strength which he has acquired to fight against the Supreme Lord Hari, correct? So can you imagine that, like, let's say you helped somebody and gave him some money, and he is using the same money to fight against you. I mean, how would you feel, correct? So that is the nature of a demon, ungrateful. But a devotee, he is always grateful. Because when you are grateful, that means that you want to share the good fortune what you have received. Because that is how a devotee thinks, right? Because a devotee thinks that he has become very fortunate, you know, by becoming a devotee, and he wants to share the very same fortune with others also. And even Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita that, you know, Nachatasmat manusheshu kashchin me priya kartama, means those devotees who preaches this message to others, even Krishna likes, you know, such a quality, even Krishna admires, that being grateful and sharing this, you know, the very spiritual knowledge what you have acquired with the others. But unfortunately, people these days are only interested in satisfying their own senses, and they are called as thieves and rogues. But Krishna is so merciful that even these people who are materialistic and who are trying to satisfy with their own senses, even for them, Krishna says, it is explained in the Bhagavatam, akama sarva kamova moksha kamo udaradihi tivrena bhakti yogena yajante purusham param, means a person who has a broader intelligence, whether he has full of material desires, without any material desires or desire for liberation, must by all means worship the Supreme Lord, the personality of Godhead. So here he is telling that even if a person is having material desires to satisfy his own senses, still you please worship Lord Vishnu or Krishna instead of worshipping the demigods. Because generally in the Hindu tradition, as you all know, that there are different demigods, and you approach a different demigod for different material desires. And when I first read this verse, this akama sarva kamova, like, you know, it just blew my mind. Like, you know, I mean, this is like an all-in-one package, right? You just worship one deity, and then you get everything. You know, you get material desires also fulfilled, and because you're worshipping Vishnu, there's a chance that you may also get liberated. Now, what else do you want, correct? I mean, why wouldn't such a person wouldn't worship Krishna or Vishnu? And when I first came across this verse, you know, I shared this word with, I still remember, I shared this verse with some of my friends and family members who, you know, who used to do some demigod worships. I said that, you know, it's just read this verse, that whatever desire you have, you still worship Krishna, He'll give you everything. And I wanted to see how they react. And to my surprise, they were not much impressed by this verse. I mean, they were continuing with whatever they are doing. So I was thinking, what's wrong? Like, I mean, Krishna Himself is telling that, you know, just worship Me even with the material desires, I'll give you everything. Then why would such a person still worship demigods? Then I was contemplating, and then I realized that, you know, people who worship demigods, we must understand that there is a natural inclination from the three modes of nature what they have attained. A person in the mode of goodness try to worship someone in, you know, the demigods in the mode of goodness, and someone who is in the mode of ignorance and passion, they naturally get attracted to worship those demigods, you know, in the mode of ignorance and passion. Because if you want to worship Vishnu, then you should only worship in the mode of goodness. You cannot offer, you know, meat or, you know, alcohol like wine, just like you worship when you worship Kali, correct? So that is a problem. The reason why they worship demigods is not that they are having some bhakti or they are trying to satisfy the demigods. No, they are not trying to satisfy the demigods, even though they perform so many austerities, follow so many rules and regulations. It looks like they are trying to, you know, they are working very hard to please the demigods. But in reality, all they are trying to do is that they are just trying to please their own senses, nothing more than that. Because when you say bhakti, bhakti basically means to satisfy others, like to satisfy Krishna, right? Anukulyena Krishna Anushilanam. But in the case of demigods, what they are trying to do is ultimately just to satisfy their own senses. And they don't really care about the demigods. Just like the example given here is Bhasmasura. Bhasmasura, he was addressed as a great devotee of Lord Shiva, but actually he doesn't care about Shiva. That is why after he got the benediction, he tried to kill the same Shiva from whom he got the benediction. So that is the nature. That is the nature of love also. That is also the nature of material love in this world also. You know, you say I love you and I say you love me. But in reality, all we are trying to do is that I'm just trying to squeeze my happiness out of you, and you are trying to squeeze your happiness out of me. And, right? Because, see, when you want to give happiness, you should have happiness, right? I mean, how can you give something to somebody when you don't have it yourself? Correct? You are thinking that you will get happiness from others. Another person is thinking that he will get happiness from you. But both of you are not having happiness in you. Then how will you share? Like, if I have $100, I can give you $10. But if I myself doesn't have it, then how can I give you, right? It's like two beggars marrying and then thinking that after marrying they'll become millionaires. how does it happen, right? So that's not possible. That is why we see that, you know, people before marriage and after marriage. Before marriage there are so many fantasies, but after marriage that's reality. They fight because, you know, and that's why they tell that after marriage you have children. Why children? Because at least the child can give some love, which the parents themselves doesn't have that love. And again, when the child grows, again the same thing. He's trying to squeeze the happiness from the parents, but he doesn't have the love himself. Then again, they'll wait for the grandchildren. So the grandchildren, at least they can give some love. So in this way, that is the nature of this material love. But we must understand that Krishna is ultimately the object of love. He has the love and he can give love to others. But in this way, these demigod worshippers, they only make a show of bhakti, but that is not real bhakti. The real bhakti is only to Krishna. But of course, one may argue saying that, you know, maybe, but Krishna said that these demigods are also his part and parcel. Like, you know, in the Virat Rupa, these demigods are also different limbs of the Virat Rupa. So why I cannot say that by worshipping demigods, I am worshipping Krishna or Vishnu? Why I cannot say so? And even Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that Devanam Deva, Ejo Yanti Mad Bhakta Yati Yanti Mamapi, means those who worship demigods go to the planets of demigods, but my devotees ultimately reach to my supreme planets. But logically speaking, if you think that demigods are part of Krishna, and then if you worship demigods, then you should go to Vaikuntha, right? Why is Krishna telling that you worship demigod, then you go to the planets of demigods? And the Prabhupada gives an explanation, like it is like watering the root, right? When you water the root, then that is how you nourish the tree. It's not by watering the leaves or watering the flowers. That is not the way. And also, the thing is that when you are worshipping the demigods, basically you are worshipping something which is temporary. Correct? But Vaikuntha is something which is permanent. we cannot expect to achieve something permanent by worshiping something temporary, right? When you worship something temporary, you get something temporary. You worship something permanent, you will get something which is permanent. But whereas these Krishna's forms like Lord Ram, Narasimha, Vamana, etc., these are all permanent forms. These are not some temporary forms of Lord Krishna. These are all permanent forms. And the Lord, incarnates in all these forms so as to attract the minds of people in general, and so that eventually they become a devotees. So in this way, a devotee who worships Krishna, he is free from all the anxieties, because a devotee is in full knowledge of Krishna and he is free from all the anxieties, because anxiety is nothing but a product of ignorance. But however, being a devotee, being full in full knowledge of Krishna, he is free from all the anxieties. And because he surrendered to the Lord also, he is free from all the anxieties. We can see in the pastimes of Krishna also, in the pastime of Agasura, all the coward boys, when they first saw this, they thought that what is this strange thing, They were also afraid, but because Krishna was there, they didn't have any anxiety because they are surrendered, They know that Krishna will protect them. So that is how the devotees are, they are fully surrendered to Krishna and they are in full knowledge of Krishna and they are not in any anxiety. And even when the devotees, when they worship, the demigods also, like Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma, they are aware of the supreme position of the Krishna, and they see even the different demigods as part and parcels of Krishna, or, like the devotees, like Lord Shiva, as he said that he is one of the topmost Vaishnava, correct? So if you see how Markandeya Rishi worshipped Lord Shiva also, he said to Lord Shiva that, "But I request only one benediction from you, who are full of perfection and able to shower down the fulfillment of all desires. I ask to have unfailing devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead for his dedicated devotees, and especially unto you." So this is how Markandeya Rishi is also offering prayers to Shiva, even though apparently he is worshipping Shiva, which is a demigod. But if you read his prayers, he is telling that, he is begging Lord Shiva that you give me a benediction, that you please bestow me to the for unfailing devotion to the Supreme Lord and for his devotees and also unto you. Correct? There are three requests here. Lord and his devotees and also unto Shiva, because he is like a spiritual master. Of course, one may ask, why is he asking devotion to Shiva? Or why is he asking devotees to Krishna? I mean, all you need is devotion to Krishna, right? But no, because Lord Shiva himself says that, out of all the worship, worshipping the devotees is even better than worshipping the Lord himself directly. And even the Prachetas, who consider Lord Shiva as their spiritual master, even they pray to the Supreme Lord that, "Dear Lord, by the virtue of movement's association with Lord Shiva, who is very dear to you and who is your utmost friend, we are fortunate to attain you. You are the most expert physician capable of treating the incurable disease of material existence." So, in this way, even the devotees, they express their gratitude, by praying for bhakti, for the Lord, for these devotees, and also especially one's guru also, to his spiritual master. And when we, the practicing sadhakas, when we are also practicing, expressing our gratefulness, one of the most important thing is that we should not have double standard. We should not have a differential outlook. You should not say that, this is someone whom I like, so I will show my gratitude, but this person whom I don't like and I don't show my gratitude. So that is not good. And this double standard is something which will take us to hell. In the third canto of Bhagavatam, it is said, "Atmanamsha parashyapi yaha karoti antarodam tasya binna drisho mrityur vidate bhayam ulbalam." Binna drisha means having a differential outlook, means having a double standard. It is said that for such a person who is having a double standard, then I cause the great fear to who makes the discrimination between himself and the other living entities. Because a devotee or a saintly person sees everybody equally, Pandita Samadarshina. He doesn't have a double standard. So in this way, we must be grateful not only to Krishna, to the Guru, but also to all the devotees. Because sometimes we see that devotees may, confine themselves that, just me, Krishna and Guru, nobody else, But that is not good, because Because, you know, one may think that, you know, it is, we must understand that who is responsible for us taking, for us going back to Godhead? Is it only Krishna, or is it only Guru, or is it only Guru and Krishna, or anyone else is also playing a role in our spiritual path also? Generally, it is understood that, you know, a Guru is responsible for one's going back to Godhead. But if we, you know, see our current setup today, the way we are practicing bhakti in an, you know, organized way, in an institution in ISKCON which is set up by Prabhupada, it is not just only a guru-centric, you know, because there are many things which are actually helping us in our, facilitating us or helping us in our path back to Godhead, right? There are many devotees, you know, who are assisting us. You know, we have shiksha gurus, we have diksha guru, and right? And there are also preachers from whom we derive a lot of benefit, you know. And there are also different, you know, devotees who are serving in the temple, running the, conducting the festivals, conducting so many things, and we are taking advantage of those things. So we must be grateful to everybody, not only to Krishna, but also to the Guru, and also to all the devotees who are helping us, and who are also playing a responsibility in our journey back to home, back to Godhead, correct? So otherwise, it's a demonic mentality, that we take advantage of everything, but I don't show my gratitude to you, or I only show gratitude only to those persons whom I like. And that is the nature of a demon, and that is how even Hiranyaksha is acting, that he got his boon from Brahma, but now unfortunately he's fighting against the Supreme Lord himself, from whom he has acquired this power. Okay? So thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Prabhupada ki jai. Any questions or comments? Okay, thank you very much. Okay, no, Prem Sankirtan Prabhu has a comment.
A very nice class. My question is, why demigods who are devotee of Krishna, some of them pure devotee, this statement, our Brahma is pure devotee. So why they're, you know, I can say, why they give benedictions to their worshippers, even if they know, I hope so, some of them, then what kind of consequences will be if they give them this kind of benedictions, like in a case of verse, what we are reading today. You know, they make demons, they make so much troubles. So what's function of basically them? Why they are doing that? Because they know they're...
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I mean, that is the responsibility of the demigods, to provide the facilities for the humankind. Correct? So you worship you perform a sacrifice, or you worship the demigods, and the demigods are obliged. It's not like an option that I may give you, I may not give you. No, they are obliged to give you, because that is their service. Just like, you know, you go to Sprouts and then you have money, and then let's say you want to buy something which is not good. Does it mean that will the cashier say no? No, the cashier will give you. I mean, that is his job, right? I mean, he's there to facilitate. I mean, but he's not looking at the best interest of you. I mean, it is, the demigods are also like that. They are just there to provide the facilities. And when you have the currency, which is, you know, performing the sacrifices, they are obliged to give you. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.